good at times. When is he going to move on? Can I say that one of the biggest things and most important things that you are going to have to cultivate in your life is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to cultivate it real strong. And the way that God sometimes works with us is that he works with us through foolishness. That you will find someday, you know, the Lord will ask you to do something weird. And you'll ask yourself, why am I going to do that? Because sometimes the Lord is training you. You are going to have to understand how he speaks to your vessel. You have to understand how he speaks to your vessel, how you know that it is him that is speaking to you. Because you never know. That day could be the day that it can save your life. It comes in great foolishness. If you are doing anything, even for as you go to work, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. As you're leading your life, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And he will whisper. He'll say things. And you have to understand how he ministers to your vessel, how he ministers to you, because it will be different for all of us. Sometimes you find that your heart just, you feel unsettled. You don't know what's going on. You feel not good. You have to ask yourself, why am I feeling this way? And then you're going to have to begin to pray. You begin to pray, covering yourself, covering your family. You may not know. If you pray in the Spirit, you begin to pray in the Spirit. Because God is, the way he works is very unique. And sometimes you will find out days later that something is off. You don't know what's going on, but you need to understand how he ministers to you. I can tell you this because it happened to me. And you all know this. I spoke to you last year about when they took my mobile phone. But hours before, I was unsettled and I was having my Woolworths rice crackers. And they are probably some of the best in the world that I've eaten anyway. There could be others, but the ones that I've eaten, those rice crackers and that Moroccan chicken that I got from. And just there was this unsettling and just this thing, go and pray. And don't bother me. I'm enjoying, you know, I'm enjoying. And I was watching some YouTube thing. But it kept on, that knock. It was an incessant knock. Oh, I'm not allowed to hit. Okay, it was an incessant knock. You know, and it kept on. And so guess what I did? I took myself away from I said, all right, let me put this down. And I put it down. I went into the room, and then I just began to pray in the Spirit. And I went on, and I prayed as I thought I would pray. I'm throwing all scriptures, you know. All scriptures that were coming to mind. Later on that evening, the mobile phone went. And you need to understand that it was my sister that was booking her Uber to come and get her from where we were staying. But somehow it wasn't working on her phone. So I said, let me just use mine. And it is through that. Now, I'm not suggesting. What I am suggesting is that there was something worse that was going to happen. But the full expression did not occur because of the Lord. We have to understand and not ignore when we sense the Holy Spirit saying things to us. Worse could have happened, but the most they got away with was a mobile phone, which was replaced. Brand new. I got a brand new one from Apple. Boom, here's, we'll give you a replacement. So I think today, this is the thing that the Lord is really emphasizing, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, over your family. One day you'll wake up and it's about your children. Something is off. You can just sense, you know, mothers maybe are a bit good at this. They can sense the children, somebody's doing something, because they recognize that they're operating out of character. And then they recognize that, oh, let me have a little chat with old Johnny or Susie, because they have done something. Many a times in my own family, my wife has recognized one of my children would come up to, oh, Mom, I love you very much. Then she thinks, oh, I know, something is up. this extra love that I'm getting today. I won't tell you which one. But then you see the charges on the credit card with the Apple Store. You know something has happened. So today we're going to, in the time that we have, we're going to continue to explore Psalm 31. We understand that this psalm is about relationship, not merely power. So when he introduces, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He's basically, that word Lord is the Hebrew word Yahweh. This is the name of God. This is the name God uses when entering into covenant with his people. It is associated with his faithfulness. Because you, as you say that word, you are going to remember all the things that he has done for people in the past. And then you think, okay, I can put my trust and my faith in him. And so we understand that whenever God wants to do something, he seeks after men and women. So God comes to form relationship with you. Listen to what he said to Abraham. In Genesis 12, he says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your kindred, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. He was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Three circles of associations here: leave your country, leave your kindred, leave your father's house. These progressively showed fields of relationship that anchored a person's identity and security. So the household of the father functioned as the primary identifying mark of a person, determining their inheritance rights, social standing, and one's place in the community. What was Jesus' father? Wasn't he a carpenter, Jesus' father? And so what did Jesus become? That was his expression in the what? In the community. That is why maybe, I don't know, with names, some were called Smiths because their parents were Smiths. They were iron smiths or whatever. You know? Huh? Or blacksmith, yes. Because they, you know, it was coal and all that. So God was signaling, so this command to abandon all three, God was signaling, saying, hey, I'm granting you a new identity, new purpose. We're starting to do something that will accomplish blessing for humanity. So you have to understand that by his essence, God, when we say the Lord is my shepherd, he has come to form relationship with you. And it is actually when we understand what a privilege it is that God wants to do something through humanity, but he wants to work through you. So just as it was for Abraham, I will bless you and I will cause all the families of the earth to be blessed through you. Similarly, he wants that for you. But it's because he comes to form what? Relationship. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Spurgeon said that before a man can truly say, and I quote, "The Lord is my shepherd," he first must feel himself to be a sheep by nature. For you cannot know that God is his shepherd unless he feels in himself that he has the nature of a sheep. He must relate to a sheep in its foolishness, its dependency, and in the warped nature of its will. So that psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And then surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is a psalm that is showing us the relationship between divine guidance and human agency. So, E.N.D. Campbell, in his book, In the Care of the Good Shepherd, he says this: The shepherd's leading in Psalm 23 assumes that we have surrendered our wills to him. This is not coercive force, but rather a willing reorientation. So becoming a Christian involves submitting your will to God, which means the leading of God operates within the framework or within a framework of consent. There is no force. Come follow me. Nah, I ain't coming. I'll stay with the fish. Thank you very much. I'll do my own thing. It operates within a frame of consent. There wasn't, you know, that statement by come follow me was not a force. Thou shalt follow me all the, no. Do you want to follow me? I'm inviting you to follow me. That's essentially what that is. And leave. You see, there's this thing about leaving that all of us have to do. And it involves the submission of our will. So we lose our self-sufficiency and independence, not because we are forced, but because we recognize that the shepherd's direction serves our what? Genuine flourishing. So I submit my will because I know that when God acts in his own best interest, it simultaneously serves my interest. That's the hard part, eh? To just let go and let him have preeminence over your life. So David submits to his shepherd so that wherever the shepherd leads, he follows. His life is not self-determined, but determined by the will of the shepherd. So we have to understand that as we go to verses number one and or number two and three, when he says the green pastures and still waters, they are not rewards for obedience or because we've obeyed, now he leads us. No, they are the natural outcome of alignment in our lives. When we are aligned with him, the shepherd guidance will then begin to aim at our restoration and our peace. If you look at why alignment is important in our lives, it's very easy for us to quote the scripture in Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide. This is the condition. So the condition is he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my rock, or my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover me with his pinions, and under his wings I will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. But the condition, you see, I have to be aligned to him for all those protections to come into place. For someone to just come into your house and open the fridge, well, there has to be some alignment. Nobody's just doing that. They come straight into your house and then they've got free reign. They're aligned with you. There is an alignment that actually takes place. So we have to understand that alignment is critical in our lives. The green pastures that are referred to here, it's more than a field of grass that we're referring to here. Because the word is about fresh grass, tender shoots, new vegetation, lush greenery. There is an emphasis here on freshness and nourishment in our lives. You have to understand that Israel was not naturally a lush country, whereas I think nowadays they are probably one of the biggest exporters of agricultural products in the world. Much of Judea is rocky and semi-arid. And so green pasture was therefore precious. It was difficult to find, it was seasonal, and it was evidence that the shepherd knew exactly where to lead the flock. So he knew exactly where, so a good shepherd knew where life was. These green pastures represent our spiritual, your and mine spiritual nourishment, which is a picture of God's word, his promises, his truth. In Matthew, when Jesus was led to be tempted, and the devil said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. He says, man shall not live on what? Bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Green pastures point to Christ. I am the bread of life. Jesus himself becomes our nourishment. the Word of God becomes the foundation for everything else that follows. So I wonder this morning, where am I trying to feed my soul? Am I grazing in pastures that leave me empty? Am I allowing the shepherd to lead me? Am I resting or am I constantly what? Striving. Where am I trying to feed my soul? Am I trying to do things in my own strength? And I guess the negative thing about trying to do things in your own strength, you'll struggle. Am I grazing in places that leave me empty? The shepherd knows what we need. He leads me because he understands that left to my own devices, guess what I'm going to do? I will seek satisfaction in places that cannot truly quench my thirst. The shepherd leads us to what truly satisfies. Isaiah 55 verse 1 to 2 says, "Come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food." Jesus echoes this in John 7 verse 37. He says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow what? Rivers of living water." The progression is very important. We cannot be guided as we go into verse number 3, into the restoration, into the paths, or be led into paths of righteousness, if without we are not being first nourished and refreshed. This is what is very important, that you know, when we partake of the Word of God and we're eating the Word of God and we're being nourished by it, it will then yield to further guidance by the Lord Jesus Christ, who will guide us beside the still waters. Save to do that, well, you know, our lives become that much more difficult. He leads me beside the still waters. This implies a journey of trust. Because sheep do not naturally know where the safest water is, but the shepherd does. So we often chase, or we may chase after things that we believe will bring us satisfaction, success, security, recognition, possessions, only to find they leave us what? Thirsty. If you recall the conversation the Lord had with the, what was that lady from? Where was this? Samaria, at the woman at the well. She had many guys. You know, she had many guys. And so she was chasing for something. And that's why he then says, if only you knew who was what? Talking to you. That there is a status. There is something that I give you that will quench all the things that you're trying to find in men. Now, it's not just her we are going to talk about. We might find some solace in the alcohol. We might find some solace in pornography. But he's saying, hey, the problem with those things is that you continue to be thirsty for them. But what I can give you will quench the thirst that you have in your life. Revelation 7 says, 15, it then says, "For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water." The shepherd always leads, but I must choose to follow. I can resist his leading, I can ignore his voice, or I can choose my own path. But every time I insist on my own way, I move away from the shepherd's protection, his provision, and his peace. So following the shepherd is an act of trust. I don't follow because I understand every step of the journey. I follow because I know the character of the one who is leading me. That's why I follow. He provided green pastures when I was hungry. He led me to still waters when I was thirsty. He gave me rest when I was weary. And because of what he has already proven himself, I can trust him with where he's taking me next. I can have things that I'm agitating for in my life. I want X, I want Y and I want Z. But hey, you've got to understand that God is for you. Sometimes you might think, I'm running out of time. I'm at an age now where, you know, maybe it's not going to work for me. There was things that I was wishing for. They might not. With the Lord, he's never late. You just have to continue to trust him. And the trust always precedes obedience. Trusting in him. The more I know this shepherd, the more easy it becomes to follow his voice. Because his leadership is never manipulative or self-serving. It is always motivated by his goodness, his wisdom, and his love. So when he then begins to say that he restores my what? My soul, he's acknowledging that there are times when he deviates from the path. Because they can become exhausted or they fall. That's what happens to sheep. Yet the shepherd does not abandon them. He restores, he revives, and he brings them back into fellowship. He also leads me in the paths of righteousness, which simply says that he just doesn't restore me to where I was. He restores me so that I can continue walking in the right path. The shepherd leads, the sheep follows. The shepherd knows the destination. The sheep has to learn to trust the journey. The relationship is built not on fear, but on confidence in his proven what? In his proven character. And he says this, he says, he will lead me through paths of what? He will lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Everything hinges on the shepherd's reputation and character. My phone got stolen. I had taken out Apple insurance. The moment I wrote to them and I said, my phone has been stolen, boom, 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 guess what they said? We are sending you a new phone. Because they recognize that for the sake of what we said we would do, because you purchased this insurance, we are going to give you back. Imagine if they come back and say, nah, we changed our minds, we're not doing it. Guess what I would have done? I would have gone on Facebook and said, Apple said X, Y, Z, you cannot trust what they say. But for their name's sake, they replaced the phone. My laptop just stopped working because of an update issue. Completely went blank and I couldn't use it. I went to them, they fixed it. They fixed it. I didn't have to pay a thing. They do these things for what? Their name's sake. So everything hinges on the shepherd's character and reputation. This is why the Lord says in Ezekiel 36, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. Israel had failed repeatedly, yet God restored them, not because they deserved it, but because he had attached his name to it. My failures don't define his faithfulness. My weakness does not diminish his strength, and my inconsistency does not alter his character. Now, what this should do because of the trustworthiness of the Lord, it doesn't mean that it introduces complacency into my life. It should inspire deeper trust and worship. Because guess what? We obey him because we love him. But we rest in knowing that our shepherd's care is anchored in his unchanging name. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. There's a difference between the way we act and the way the Lord acts. I'll just get the team to, and we're going to finish on that, pour it out. We're going to go out, you know, on that song. I wonder today, am I learning to recognize the Lord's leading in my life? How do we know his voice today? Because we have to be led. We have to surrender our lives and our wills to him and allow ourselves to be led by him because we understand his voice. That is why it's very easy for mothers that they can be in a crowded room, but the moment they hear a child wailing amongst all those children that are there, they will know that that one is mine. And the reason they do that is because they've spent time with that child. So they understand the voice. That's why he says, my sheep, hear my what? Hear my voice. We know his voice today through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. A stranger, they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. The Holy Spirit in our lives is not merely a power to experience. He's a person who leads God's people. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We have to become familiar with his voice. Our very lives depend on it. We cannot be that naive. We have to depend on the voice of the Holy Spirit and his leading. Just as a shepherd spends so much time with his flock that the sheep recognize his voice above every other sound. I watched a YouTube video the other day, and a lady was, you know, she's got chickens, and she just made this sound, and all the chickens went back into the pen. If I went and I made the same sound, I don't know. I don't know whether they would have followed. But because, you see, they were taught, which tells me that this understanding, the voice of the Holy Spirit, it has to be cultivated. It's not an automatic thing. So the scriptures are the ones that illuminate the way for us. They become an inner witness. And we have to understand that the Holy Spirit never contradicts the Word of God. Never. So when you think you're hearing voices, they're telling you stuff that is contrary to the Word of God, that you're finished, you can never be forgiven. That's contrary to what the Word of God says. And so you have to recognize that is a voice that you don't want to be listening to. So the more we spend time with him in prayer, in worship, and his word, the more familiar his voice becomes in our lives. So we learn this daily through relationship with him. Daily, because I'm spending time with the Lord. Now, I'm not suggesting you do it daily. Now, what I am saying is that regularly, I'm only going to know somebody the more I spend time with them. And the reality is, the more time I spend, the more I know of that person. So this, why don't we just stand as we finish? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is the shepherd of your life. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Father, we just thank you this morning that you are our shepherd. You are a covenant-keeping God. You're a God that makes covenant with his people. And Father, you have plans for humanity, Lord, but you have allowed yourself, Lord God, to need us, to work through us. May we answer the call, Father, in our lives, the things that you're calling us to do and to be. Father, I just thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit, that he's not just some entity on the side that we can call upon occasionally, that he wants to be involved. May we usher you this week especially, Lord, into our lives. May we be intentional about engaging with your Holy Spirit, about knowing his witness in our lives. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And I'm just going to ask for those of us here today that have never made a decision to say, I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask that we're going to say a prayer of invitation. And if that is you this morning, I want you to put your hand up so we can see, but also as you acknowledge Jesus in your life, but also so that we can give you some materials and help you along this journey. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I repent of my sins today, and I choose to follow you all the days of my life. You are the good shepherd. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If that is you this morning, with every eye closed and head bowed, I want you to raise your hand so that we can see, inviting the Lord Jesus into your life. To finish our service with a song, and then we're going to provide opportunities to, if you need prayer, to come to the front and we'll pray for you. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is important in your life. For some of you, there's people, some of you who are going on journeys or are intending on going on journeys. You need to seek the Lord and to ask for His direction. The Holy Spirit will lead you and will guide you. For your families, you're leading families. You're going to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you. You're not going to do it on your own strength, because your own strength will lead to failure and it will lead to frustration. You've got children. You are going to need the spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I'm going to encourage you that you say, hey, with your hands raised this morning, Holy Spirit, may you lead me. Holy Spirit, may you guide me. So we're going to sing this song, and if you need prayer, please come to the front. But have a wonderful week, and God bless you.
be.